download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
I think it does in reflection, but at the time we were just busy just trying to get good songs and just make them sound good, and it was only really once it was pretty much finished that we kind of realised it had a different feel to it, and some of the songs definitely had more, I don't know, positivity than some of our older ones. I suppose having less positivity would be quite a hard thing. But yeah, I think it was only really, really looking back that we realised that rather than planning it beforehand.
You chose Paul Savage to produce this album for the first time since your debut, which was more than a decade ago. Why did you choose him again, and why now? Why this time for Paul Savage to return to the Mogwai fold?
I think that we were aware of a lot of records that Paul had been doing recently. They were really good. Things like the Phantom Band and the Twilight Sad. And we never had a falling out with Paul or with Chemical Underground, so it just kind of... It just seemed a good idea to go back and work with him again, and it was a nice feeling. It felt very different working with him just because the band's changed and the way the recordings are done have changed. But just on a personal level, he's just a really, really nice guy. So it just felt like hanging out with an old friend, which was good.
Well, it seems like you guys all obviously enjoy each other's company. Is that important for you as well in working closely with the producer to feel like it's someone that you can trust and just be at ease with?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't really kind of expose yourself or be that comfortable if it wasn't someone that you liked a lot. And I think all the people we've recorded with have been people that we would definitely consider good friends of ours, like Tony Dugan and Andy Miller and Dave Fridman and even Steve Albini, got on really well with. So yeah, I think it is important to have a good relationship with whoever's kind of recording the music.
I like that you say even Steve Albini, like it's quite shocking that anyone could get along with him.
He's actually a funny guy. He's just kind of a fabric, I suppose, but actually he's just hanging out. He's a pretty funny dude, and he's actually good company.
For many years, Mogwai have been a band without lyrics, and you know, I know a lot of people kind of dwell on that, but it's just what you do. It's very normal for you guys, obviously. But I'm wondering, when you write this music, do you have mental images or stories in your head, or is it more abstract when you're thinking about a Mogwai song, a Mogwai moment?
Yeah, I think we just really think about the music. I think that we think in quite a practical way, and the kind of random or abstract element I think maybe was more, again, kind of like the mood of the record. You look back and think, wow, that's a really sad piece of music, or that one's actually kind of fun. You know, kind of at the time, we just get really caught up in the details and the whether something's good or not factor, rather than any of the sort of poetic interpretation, trying to work out where it came from. We just kind of just presume it's come from somewhere and just try and make it sound as good as we can.
Mogwai always have a lot of fun with album titles and with song titles. There's a bit of a Mexican theme going on with this record though, Stuart. Mexican Grand Prix, Reino Paino, San Pedro. Is there any reason why there's these three songs in particular that have a kind of Spanish-Mexican vibe about them?
I don't know. Well, Reino Paino's just nonsense. That doesn't mean anything. And I think those other two, John just hit random on Wikipedia and that's what came up. So really, really no effort whatsoever is going into it. Although we do like Mexico a lot, and I'm a very big fan of Mexican food.
So maybe it got into your subconscious somehow. It was Mexican direction. It's such a funny album title as well. Who is responsible for Hardcore Will Never Die But You Will?
The drummer from a band on our label called Error. Someone told him, or he saw someone say it in a shop, like some kid that wasn't getting served for wine because he was too young, and he just was shouting at the shopkeeper.
Yeah, and he shouted that.
Yes.
I do have to ask you why you've got a song called You're Lionel Richie finishing the record. Is that a random Wikipedia entry as well that you've clicked on? Where did that song title come from?
No, that's an anecdote. Actually, I saw Lionel Richie at an airport and I was pretty surprised to see him, so that's what I said to him.
You just said You're Lionel Richie.
Yeah, I was really hungover.
And what did he say?
He just kind of smiled. I guess people probably say that kind of stuff to him all the time.
Yeah. Like, yes, I am Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Did the conversation continue from there, or was that pretty much it?
It was an on-the-move conversation. I think he was going somewhere and I was going somewhere. I think when this conversation starts that badly, it's good to not continue it.
Yeah. Know when to cut your losses.
Yeah, I think so. Quite well, you're almost ahead.